So, yeah, sure.
So, Joe, just for a quick point of reference for the audience, please be sure you introduce yourself, give us your name and your address when you speak. Thank you.
Behind you the microphone, whoever was going to speak. Go ahead.
Sure.
Hi, Dr. Paul Heinrichs. I commend you for getting the funding. I think that's wonderful. I'm really impressed, and I see that there's a strong need to do this, seeing some of the erosion, especially at our neighbors' properties. So I'm really in favor of this. I do have some significant questions over the, I bike a lot, and I've seen what they've done upstream from this near Wiregrass Park, and they're currently doing at Secor Park, and it's absolutely devastating. If any of you have ever seen any of that, that bulldozers come in and large swaths of land are taken. I don't think it's going to be quite as simple as Haroon Park, which, again, you've done a magnificent job on. So I was wondering what the plans were post this to straighten that out. Second thing is after this is done, it's going to open up huge swaths of that floodplain to people coming in. In fact, you even mentioned it's going to allow people to walk across the stream in the summer and access both sides of the stream from the Richards Park. I have seen over the last 20 years I've lived there, teenagers do tend to frequent that in the summer, and that is going to possibly give a little bit more problems for the officers to monitor, possibly fires, whatever activities they're up to. Final thing would be the plans for wetlands. I'm not sure exactly what they are, but the possibility of mosquitoes and such. So the first thing is the restoration of the floodplain the way it was, instead of leaving it devastated like I have seen upstream. Second is post kids and stuff, and the third thing is mosquitoes.
And I'll let you answer the part of the mosquito question.
So in regards to mosquitoes, it is a wetland. There will be mosquitoes, but with the mosquitoes, again, you are attracting wildlife that are going to eat them. So you will have bats that frequent the area. You will have amphibians that also eat, you know, the larvae from the wetlands as well. And so it should not be any more abundant than where you're at right now.
You know,
sir, can we please?
Let's go through just question. We'll answer yours, and then we'll get to everybody else's. We may pick some questions off as we go. So, but yeah, to answer your question on the two-stage ditch that was upstream of this, that's a completely different type of project. That was more flood mitigation that the county engineer went on, and you're right. It's pretty invasive when you go look at it. It's clear cut. It's provide additional storage, and it's that. That's not what this is. This does have stream alignment that goes with it. So there will be equipment, and there will be things moving. Obviously, right? You're taking a stream and physically moving it. So there's going to be some of that. But you know, they're not really similar projects, I guess would be, you know, my response. Yeah, yeah. And then with respect to kids and, you know, parks and stuff like that, like this isn't, obviously you guys know this isn't Haroon Park, right? We don't have parking lots and we don't have access to that. And with the covenant that we get into, should we decide to do this with ODNR, they're very restrictive on what you can do. They don't want parking lots down here. They're not inviting people to come. Is it possible that should we decide to do a stone path for people to walk on with a bench? You know, maybe. That's certainly not a part of this project. This portion of the project is implement the improvement, and then we'll see, you know, kind of how it goes from there. So that we answer all your questions?
Well, I'm just hoping that once it's done, this will be cleaned up.
Sure. Yeah, for sure. This is ODNR that's run. This is they value every tree that's down there, so they're very particular about it. So, yeah.
The object to this, too, is that the floodplain will be replanted with woody vegetation, shrubs, native plants as well. So it's not going to be left barren. The more vegetation that you have in there, the more it helps slow down the water during floods, and it helps retain sediment and retain nutrients.
My question's here, 5705, I don't need
okay.
The
can hear me fine. When you're all done with the projects, which I'm in favor of, it's not going to change, it's still going to flood like it always has, correct? Okay.
Yeah, this isn't a, this isn't a...
With that said, the gentleman's question, I've been here for 30 years. That part will fill back up with deadfall from up the creek. Again, that's going to be something that if you have funding to go in and clean it up, because within a couple of years, you're going to have deadfall coming down once it floods throughout the entire park all over again. You're going to have the same problem with the deadfall. The park across the street, it has standing deadfall. On a windy day, you can sit on our side of the park and hear trees come down all the time. So, you know, that's a, going to be something that we're just going to have to deal with.
Understood. I don't need to like it. I don't like time. I got a moment of voice. That is moving. I've looked at 7615 when a court or has been associated with that property since 1972. So I'm probably the one of the longer living residents that have been back. Couple questions first. You have mentioned that the land and erosion basically is along the north side of the creek has been 7 inches per year. What type of monitoring devices have you used to come up with that calculation? That's my first question.
Sure. So it's a good question, right? I mean, if you go out and physically measure 7 inches, no, that's it. But what you do is you use basically aerial photos, and fortunately in Lucas County, you probably get our areas blown every three years or so. So if you go back and look at, you know, aerial photos from, you know, 3-5, even back to 15, 20 years ago, you can see the movement of it. Now, 0.7 is more of a, you know, kind of aggregate number, right? Some spots may not see that. Some may see feet, you know, and it's more of a, an average number. So there's no technical measurements.
I get it.
The northern side, for sure.
The second question is, first of all, I'm very adamantly against this because my property abuts to that creek on Wyndham Court, which means I own halfway into the natural stream bed right there. So I'm just letting know I'm extremely adamant against this, and I'm sure there's other people in here that are as well. Now, next question I have is, this is a conceptual problem. Is there a possibility to come up with another plan using rocks, the tree stumps that you harvest and put there, to where you can keep everything except up to the Bonnie Brook Bridge, to where the old sewer line crosses the creek that they put in there for all the residential property that was developed out, you know, past Little Road and beyond, to where you can cut that corner. Instead of having a 90-degree there, maybe get a flowing 45 to where you can build up the residents that are presently on that side of the creek. They keep their frontage. You just build up with the tree stumps, the rocks, put ripples or whatever in the creek bed itself to slow down the flow of water during the flood times.
And keep in mind, this is funding through ODNR. They want to see specific improvements done at the start to spend $1.5 million of their program on here. So is it just moving rocks and cutting a few stumps and moving some stuff? Is that going to get it done with them? No, it won't. They will tell us you don't have a project. So there are specific things that we do have to do with this. So to answer your question, no, I don't think it's as simple.
Mr. Shaw, I'm going to interrupt for quickly before we go to someone else. I'm having a hard time getting names and addresses from all of you. So one of the things I'm going to ask is that you step up to the microphone. We know who's got the floor and who's speaking at the time. So you're all welcome to provide comment, but we ask that you step up to the microphone and begin with name and address.
Sure. Yeah.
Thank you very much. I didn't, but I'd like to hear. I didn't hear.
My name is Karen. It's my mother's house I live in. It's
Karen.
5723 Sunbelt Boulevard.
And tell me, what is your last name?
Jones. Okay. I actually brought pictures of what it looks like when it floods, because I take pictures all the time. And my house sits right
creek and it does flood. You're exactly right.
What? Have you seen any pictures?
Let's make sure.
You will not be able to see the creek.
We would ask that you.
Hold on. Let's make sure that we answer your question.
Right, the microphone.
Look how bad they are. I mean, there's only a few.
So this is not a stop flooding project. Okay? That's not what this is. It's Ten Mile Creek. It's a floodplain. It drains probably the second largest drainage area in our area. Okay, it's going to do that. It's a creek. This is a stream restoration project. That's what this is. This is nutrient production.
You've been watching our floods all every year for the last, I don't know how many, I mean, I've been there, what, 11 years now? Every year it's flooded. My concern is, even if you turn that, how much faster is that creek going to go?
Yeah, so the idea with it meandering like that is to do the layerings that she talked about on that perimeter to try to slow it down. Yes, I mean, during a flood, it's going to be I mean, the idea is to lessen the amount of nutrients and sediment that gets into the creek. That bottom line, that's what ODNR, Ohio wants.
What about quarry dumping their stuff? That's who dumps a lot of into that creek, isn't it? The quarry.
There's a big drainage area upstream from this. And I think there's measures being put in place by the county engineer to try to stop or try to help with flooding. But that's not what this is. This is not a flood mitigation project.
I'd ask that, yes, you'll need to step up to the front and ask the questions.
So I'm Karina Chikunis. I live on 7625 Gilcrest. And I'll show you, we're P5. And I'm going to show you the map just because my questions are related to that. We've been there for about 8 years now. We've actually called many times over the last year because we've lost so much erosion. We've actually measured it because we used to have a log that kind of fell and was over the creek. We've lost 4 to 6 feet in on our side, and I'll show you where it's at. And I have a couple of questions concerning probably for everybody. We're literally right here. So you're gonna take our tree over here, which is what we talked about, we lose our view. We get, like our neighbors up here too, we have to give our neighbors, we get the flooding 4 times a year. We know that, we know it's gonna continue. And we asked if there's what we can do, and are we said boulder rocks to kind of promote that. I tried to plant things, but that will stay because of the flow. My concern is, this is a huge deviation. This is not as huge, but this is a huge deviation for these numbers in residential. So that's their land. That's what they bought back in City Creek. That's their view. And yet, you can't plant, you can't do a lot, we have wildlife. So my concern is, and this is proposals. I'm all for the funding is amazing. The idea is amazing. This is an initial plan that you said. Is there a way to make it less? Is there a way to make it closer to this as the original and still alleviate that? Because wetlands, huge. I have kids. My neighbors have 4 children. We play in the backyard all the time. They get bit of live local infections. And I'm not talking about viruses, just make a bad reaction to mosquitoes. And if you're going to do that, and the long-term maintenance isn't there, I'm not big on chemical treatments, I'm really not, but if there's no preservation long-term for the residents that live there, that's a concern. That's my concern, but I'm all for it because we're seeing massive erosion, which is something absolutely needs to be done. There's some ideas that I think multiple people are thrown out. If they can kind of go to this plan, maybe a little bit differently, where we still have our land that we bought and we can want from the other half of the creek. I mean, it's a necessity. It's amazing you're giving funding. I commend you for that. I commend you for the council for approving this. I just want to look at the people living there.
Very good comments. Thank you so much.
Did you get my picture?
I haven't seen them yet, but they're coming around. Thank you very much. I want to see them. Name and address, please.
Stacy Rapino, 770 Rapino.
Okay.
7722 West Warner Court.
Okay. Okay.
My house is not on that map.
No, it's not.
My house is probably down around there. So, some things you guys may not know about what goes on in the creek. Okay? I've lived there for 8-9 years. If you want to see more pictures of the creek, you can go on Facebook and you can just type in creek life. And you will see flood after flood behind my house. You'll see 3 or 4 pockets of standing water that happen not only when it floods, but when we get heavy rains. All of my neighbors are treating for mosquitoes. There are no longer any bees in my yard because everybody's treating for mosquitoes and they're wiping out everything. I still have the bats that come out every night, thank goodness. So there's still something there, but they're probably eating the fireflies. What you don't know, what this map doesn't show you, is the herd of deer that traverse the creek all year long. You can see them in the morning coming up the creek, especially in winter when there's no foliage, and you can see down into the creek. There's yearlings. Thank goodness there's still going to be a path that allows them to cross the creek. If not, they wouldn't make it. When it floods, that water is really fast. Really flowing. What's this going to do to my area? Is it going to flow faster? Is it going to flow slower? Is this going to make the creek rise higher than it does? I have a 20-foot drop off the back of my property down into the creek. The creek, there's a bridge back there that I had our historical society do research on. If you want that, you can, she can just kind of send you the emails. It's a historical bridge. It's been there since the 1920s. She specifically remembers playing on it in the 60s, before that property was developed into all of the homes that are there now. There's a bald eagle that hunts in our creek system. It hunts between Wildwood and I don't even know how far past my house. My son has eagle eyes, so we have a picture of it from 3 years ago. Last year, I saw it flying over the expressway coming in and out of Wildwood, and I called and I talked to a really nice park ranger who says, oh, yeah, it's been hunting here for a couple of years. It's got a nest. That makes this an endangered species protection area. There's 3 different acts that we have to take into account when we're looking at this property. The Bald and Golden Eagle Wildlife Protection Act, the Migratory Birds Conservation Act, and another Migratory Bird Act as well. There's 2 separate migratory birds. This is a bird migration superhighway. Our creek is a very important part of that. In 3 different sections on King Road, you can see where developers have gone in and wiped out all of the natural habitat, not retaining one single tree. They're putting in new neighborhoods, not keeping a single old growth tree. Trees that are older than anyone can imagine are gone. Our creek protects those things, feeds those things, takes care of those things. We kept our eye out for 6 years before we found a baby turtle in our backyard. There's turtles, there's fish, there's amphibians. Hearing the frogs sing at night is the most amazing thing you can have. One, a couple more points to make. I have documented 4 different types of squirrels in my backyard. There's foxes, there's coyotes.
I do think you've done a beautiful job of making your point, and it is exciting to think that all of that, the animals are there, and I don't live on the creek, but I don't live far from it, and so I haven't seen a coyote, but I've seen about everything else. And,
the growth on fields.
Yeah. And I would say, I think the question I heard you ask was, how would this impact your property? I'm not sure that, Mr. Shaw can address that right now, but I'm sure he will try or give you whatever information he has. Our goal is not to damage any of the wildlife. In fact, to do things that will enhance those opportunities for continued success for the wildlife.
But you're talking about slowing the stream. And up at my property is one of the biggest bends in the stream.
So let's see if Mr. Shaw has any feedback specific to you.
And it's actually got a channel cut through that big oxbow, as you guys call it. It's got two sources for the stream to move through there, which is essentially what will start to happen naturally if we just leave these sections alone.
So, Mr. Shaw, any feedback specific to?
Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Sure. Quickly, upstream from here, you probably will not see much, right? It's a creek that's there. It floods. It has a floodplain that's associated with it. In terms of speeding up water and slowing it down, you probably won't see that either. What you're talking about doing is keeping your banks stabilized so that we're not losing all that soil and putting it into lake. That's really the crux of this project. It's not flood. It doesn't handle any of that. This is a realignment that pulls water to the center of the creek so we stop putting a gazillion amount of sediment. That's the biggest problem.
You guys moved that.
So I would share with you that we have a public hearing scheduled for 7 o'clock. We'll go another 5 minutes. Is that all right with you, Mr. Hannon? It's your meeting.
Absolutely.
So I've got two more people that I know have questions. If we could be, you know, efficient with our time and considerate.
Chad Douglas, 7620 Wyndham Court. Like other people said, we just bought our house last year. One of the reasons we bought it, that creek. We sit right here. This is ours. We have a drop, like other people have mentioned, in the back of our yard. But if you move this all the way up there, I'm not going to see my creek or this creek from our house. And that was one of the major reasons that drew us there. So, you know, I'm against it. I know other people are. My concern is that if it gets moved, like other people have said, it will probably come back the way that it was. But my concern is that all of this, you know, like other people said, all of these people here, you're not going to see the creek. You're not going to see it anymore. And, you know, probably most of those people look out their back window every day and like looking at the creek. I do. I bet a lot of other people in here do too.
Thank you very much for those comments.
Angela Sapp, 7447 Club Road. I'm actually the HOA president, and I'm curious about what will happen to Richards Park after everything is finished as a neighborhood. And I just want to say, everybody, hey, redistricting happened. We moved for our school, but we have to move forward in life, and stuff happens. So.
Yeah, so afterwards, I don't know that we, you know, even as the administration has talked about this, I would doubt it. I think it's more, I would consider it like a residential resource, you know.
So with we need forward to, you know, right now we have a path, it's not great, but we do it because much of the old,
yeah,
you know, the old,
I think that's the intent.
Okay.
I think that's
it. But will the project cover the cost of that after?
Yeah, so they'll cover what you see kind of in that diagram there. If there's anything after that, if it's stone paths, if it's whatever the neighborhood kind of desires, if that's something that we decide to take a direction with and go next step, we'll take a look at it. But what you see kind of on paper is what they
want. Well,
it says 2 years in the construction. It's not going to take that long, I don't think. For the grant purposes, they got to have termination dates, so to speak, and they want to see their money spent by a certain date. So the time in there gives us the ability, well, if we didn't get something done, let's say we had a flood that doesn't allow us down in there for, you know, 6 weeks and we're behind. It's just more flow than anything else. Yep.
We have a gentleman here that would like to speak, and then we'll move toward the next steps.
Good evening. My name is Ihor Maximan. I'm on 5545 Radcliffe Road. And I listened to a number of people talk about this, and
I probably have the most to lose by moving this creek, because my house is situated here. But I spent over $20,000 already in trying to retain this, and I went out and got other quotes over $60,000 that have stopped, because they said, the amount of money to fix this and stop this erosion is killer. So, from my standpoint, my point of view here, I think it's a great project. Again, you're moving it way far from me, as much as I love this wildlife, and I like seeing the creek like everybody else. If this continues and you people want to sell your property, go down, fine, because I'm going to have to give this away because nobody's going to buy it.
Thank you for your comments.
And as far as the kids down there playing, nothing's going to change there. They can't put a parking lot down there because it's still a floodplain. And the wildlife is still going to be there. They're not taking any of the land away. You're screwing the creek.
As a courtesy to the meeting that's following this, I would ask if you've got something new to say, please do step up to the microphone. And if you, thank you so much for your comments. And if you don't have something new to say, we ask that you email us directly.
My name and address. I live at 5733 Sun Valley Boulevard, which is right here. P7.
Mm-hmm.
And the question that I have has to do with the idea that people say this is still going to flood. I would like to understand what still going to flood means. We're sitting on this, the green area that is going to be a wetland. And right now, as Karen Jones, who's my neighbor, showed you the pictures, the flooding comes up over our docks, into our backyard. I want to know what it means that this is still going to flood and this is not going to flood.
Good question.
Yeah, good question. There's a hydraulic, it's hydraulic and hydrologic, something H&H is what it's called in the technical world, but an H&H study goes with this. So once you get the channel alignment refined, you run it through a program that's called HECGRASS, and it basically models the floodplain. So anytime that you're shifting a creek, you know, especially off of alignment like that, there's a lot of modeling that goes with that. So when I say, like, if it's still flooded, if it was in kind of the flood limits now, it's probably still going to be within the flood limits after we're done. Like, we're not physically taking that floodplain and shifting it around and throwing it to different places. The study will look at that, but that's not really what happens with this type of project. So, you know, if you sit at a certain elevation above it and the creek level's here, it's probably still going to stay about the same. Well, no, that's the reason that we're doing this. So if you straighten things out and you do the... Well, yeah, sure. So, yeah, especially along your edge up there at the top, so all that kind of greenish-looking stuff that's up in there and rocks that are over in there, that's to pull the flow kind of more towards the center of it so that you stop losing your soil along the eastern side.
6 feet from the side of the earth
that you live. So if we'd ask for the courtesy of stepping up to the microphone, and this, we really do have a timeline. I'm going to ask, wait.
So our kids aren't important. Let's keep them out of trouble.
Rich,
for the 2 years
Rich,
of construction.
Could we please be respectful?
Gilcrest Road.
One more time, please.
Rich Shupanese, 7625 Gilcrest Road.
We're on the corner here. Would you like?
Yeah.
By far, we have the highest road.
Yeah.
Like I said, 6 feet in 7 years.
Yeah.
I'm like 50-50 on this. I think it's a great idea, but I also want to keep wildlife, trees. Well, what's got to get done, got to get done. Change is not a bad thing. Most people here want to know, can you stop the erosion? Oh.
Well, I mean, this is a mitigation project, 100%. There's nothing that I can do mentioning it's 100%. But
right.
We wouldn't be proposing this if we didn't think we were going to be doing substantial improvements.
I mean, there are power poles in Edison 2 feet from the tree line.
Yep.
When I talk about more problems
right.
down the road.
Right. Definitely a concern.
So.
You know what? I'm sorry. We've already had, you hadn't had an opportunity to speak.
It's not about this. It's about them. It's just protection for them. Honestly, one last statement.
You know what, I've got someone sitting behind you that hasn't had a chance to speak at all, and I'd like to give her that opportunity and then to wrap up. They will be available after.
That's a drive-through to that neighborhood, and we're going to be able to do that.
I'm Jennifer Douglas. I live at 5549 Radcliffe Road. Two questions. One, can we have the phone number and the email address of the person to ask more questions to, since we're running out of time? And if we could go back to the map really quick. So I'm right next door to that lovely gentleman. And my question is, I'm just kind of wondering why it's got to be so far. So he's here, I'm here. So why is it so far? I mean, I understand that we're pregnant then, but I mean, something like that.
So I thank you all for being here. I can hear there's lots more conversation and comments. Joe, if you would put back up your address, I think it would be helpful to the group.
Bishop Westfall, could we ask administration to post the presentation on the website so that it's available for the public to look at? And that would also give them the opportunity to connect to Mr. Shaw.
Absolutely.
And I think that would be helpful for the general public.
So I would also say, is there any critical feedback from any of the committee members?
Are we going to have this is a preliminary drawing, right? When you do a more, when you decide exactly how we're going to do that, will we have another public availability session? Is that a plan?
Should be.
It should be, I think.
We're at the stage now where we basically will take the input that we have here.
Right.
And then decide, because until before we can enter into the, let me go, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I understand. I'm sorry.
We're at the stage where we'll take these comments and go back and see if, you know, if things can be handled in a different manner, and make a decision on how to move forward. We're at the point here where in order for us to enter into the agreement with ODNR, we basically need the property owners that will be impacted with easements to indicate that they're in favor of the project. So we won't be able to enter into that agreement, so we won't take the next step in design or anything like that until we got into that agreement. Otherwise, all of those costs would be at the city's expense.
Okay.
So we'll have to take this back and...
So the process is, we'll just tell me what the process is from here.
Mm-hmm. Well,
this was like a conceptual.
We'll go back, we'll see if, you know, based on the comments and talk to CAC and see if there are some options available. You know, this, you're not, you know, if we...
We'll see what we can come up with.
Yeah, we'll see what we can come up with and then go back from there. We'll have to get
you back to... You go back to ODNR?
Yes.
And they would review any changes from this?
That's correct.
And then at that point, we're then getting easements?
Yes.
And we need to secure the easements to go to the step beyond that.
You have to be able to enter into the agreement where we're provided the assurance that we'll have the $1.4 million that it takes to do this project.
Okay. So after we have the easements, we will be essentially at a fixed design and a plan to go forward, if I got that right?
Pretty well, it'll be a fixed design, it won't be surveyed and all of that.
But right. Yeah,
the layout of the path would be essentially pretty much that.
Okay. How long do you think you'll need to evaluate the comments that we've had here tonight?
I think I would like to talk with Deanna and Joe.
Before they get out of the room? Well,
yes.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, well, I think it would be, and to the extent that we make any changes, I think we ought to share those with our neighbors as soon as we can.
And I think our goal is always to be fully transparent. I appreciate the comment, Mr. Hanum, but I think our goal is to always be transparent, as I hope you can all feel that tonight. We thank you for your time, for your comments. Thanks to the service department, to Deanna, for your presentation, and we'll keep you posted on next step. Again, there's no action to be taken tonight, so we'll call this...
Employee Community Relations Committee adjourned. Please do feel free to reach out to Joe Shaw. Maybe pop that address and phone number back up there for a minute. Thank you very much.